You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
All right, let's start off with Jeevan Shah Devan. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm an entrepreneur and a business coach. I started business many years ago, almost 10 years back. And one of my first businesses was a travel agency.
All right.
And as I built this business, I eventually sold it for some profit. And I also built a cyber cafe. And along the way, I came across Action International. That was what it was called back then. Today, it's called Action Coach. And I was very intrigued by the concept of coaching business owners to make a profit. And I was one of the first people to purchase their franchise in Asia when they launched back in Malaysia in October 2000.
Where did Action...
Action is from Australia.
Okay.
They started out of Australia and by a gentleman by the name of Brad Sugars. And today, Action is in 23 countries. And they have 1,000 business coaches like myself all over the world.
And what made you go into business coaching from starting a travel agency, a cyber cafe?
Well, what intrigued me was, when I started my businesses and when I started running businesses, I had a real difficulty in creating profit and difficulty in attracting customers and generating revenues and making profits. And I would just use my gut instinct or what I thought would work. And when I came across Action and they mentioned that they had over 344 strategies to grow any business on the planet, I was completely blown away. And as I sat down and talked to them and discovered what it is that they do, I was sold. And I realized this was a calling of mine. This is something I wanted to do. I wanted to learn about business, exactly how to do it, how to make money, how to grow. And from there, I'd like to be able to help people to do the same. So I became an Action coach. I bought the franchise and became a coach.
But did you see that as more of a business venture instead of just finding out some of the good practices that Action had and open up a successful business?
It was a bit of both. It was an interesting business venture because about 8 years ago, the idea of business coaching was completely foreign to most people. People didn't understand what a business coach was. For example, at one party I went to and someone asked me, "So, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a business coach." And the guy says, "Oh, do you have buses from JB?" I said, "No, not that sort of business coach." But the idea was completely foreign. And I was very intrigued by that. And I said, "Hey, this is something I could do." And the revenue scheme, the potential for revenue is also very, very big. Essentially, I make huge amounts of money from helping people make a lot of money. And at the same time, and then when I see them go out and create huge amounts of profit in their business, I sleep really well at night.
Mm-hmm. And like you just said just now, and when you introduced yourself as a business coach, people thought you were, you know, offering a shuttle service from point A to point B. So when you got into, you know, of becoming a business coach, how did you, you know, attract people, influence people? Do people believe that, you know, I'll come and listen to what you have to tell me?
What I would do is I would offer complimentary 1 hour sessions with me. I would go to business people and I'd say, "Hey, look, give me 1 hour of your time. I'll give you an hour of mine completely free of charge, and I'll sit with you. And in that hour, I'll show you exactly how you can increase your profits by a minimum of 61% in 1 year. And I'll take them through a process. You see, there are only 5 ways you can increase your profits in business, only 5. Whatever you do out there are only 5 ways you can increase profits, irregardless of the kind of business you're in, whether it's a small one-man show or you're a listed company. There are just 5 areas to work on. So what I would do is I would analyze how they're performing in each of these 5 areas. And based on what I see, I can then start to make recommendations. To give you an example, someone could be doing advertisements as one of their strategies to get inquiries, to get prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But what they may not realize is that 80% of the success of an advertisement is due to only one thing, your headline.
Yep.
So if you get your headline wrong, there's a good chance you won't actually attract the kind of customers or the prospects or inquiries that you actually want. So then I teach them how to come up with some phenomenal headlines. And then I'll teach them how to do the offers, how to put an offer into the ad, how to come up with your body copy, how to put some scarcity into the ad, and how to make their layout fantastic. So all this is what I would actually teach them.
Right.
And we can see results very, very fast.
When you started off as well, I just want to take you back a little bit. You say you can improve their business by 61%. And what track record you had starting off as a business coach?
Well, what we had when we first started, because when I was one of the first coaches in Malaysia, so there were no Malaysian clients yet. And what we had was track records of other coaches from different parts of the world, Australia, New Zealand predominantly, and as well as some of Singapore. So that was very useful, very helpful. Today, we've got a lot of our own track record. I've got a whole lot of mine as well. So that's very, very useful. And back then, the main way to get business was through telemarketing and referrals. So as we get good results with a client, he tends to refer more people or more businesses to us. And we kept building. In fact, about 90% of our business growth is through referrals.
Okay. Now let's get into the business part of it. I am in business, or I want to start up a business. What do I need to do? I don't have any business background, or probably some would say no business acumen. How do I start a business, or how do I make my business that I'm in right now grow?
Okay, one of the most critical components is actually marketing. What many people don't realize is you are not your product. You are not your business. What you are is an entrepreneur who's growing a business. And one of the most fundamental skills you must master is how to market. So, for example, if you're just starting a business and you're saying, okay, look, so what do I do now? The first thing you want to ask yourself is, who's my target market? Be clear exactly who your target market is, the different categories of target markets that you have. Then the next question you'd ask is, where do I find them in the highest concentration? Once you've uncovered the answers to those two questions, now you can begin to start to make some serious money, because now you design offers. You take a look at your product and you say, am I adding value to this particular target market or not? And if you're not adding value, you're not going to get sales. So you start to add value. You find all the ways in which you can add maximum value. You find what your competitors are not doing. And you can come in and add that value and take over those clients. And from here, you start to build. This is where you build. And you start, once you start building, you start increasing your team size. You start increasing your strategies. You start increasing products, revenues. A whole lot of things start to happen.
All right. Now, as you're speaking there, people say, fine, I understand the foundation of it. Put it in practice. Give us an example of a successful business here in Malaysia that probably has adapted that.
Okay. A very good example is I coach a group of very outstanding individuals who are unit trust consultants with Public Mutual, and they call the LVG consultants. And now, one of the things that they did is, when we first started, their focus was basically, as you know, every other unit trust out there is to sell unit trust. Now, what we did with LVG and what we worked closely on is we designed a philosophy where it was not just about purchasing unit trust, but it was actually about building a financial fortress in your life.
Okay.
See, what we found is many people, their income, their source of income would either be their employment income or their business income.
Right.
But if that was to stop, they have nothing left. So what LVG consultants would do is they'd work with you on building a financial fortress, and we set up some systems on how to do that. Then, as they began the marketing, they would talk to individuals not just to buy unit trust, but to actually build a fortress, a financial fortress that 7-8 years down the road is impenetrable, and you've got a huge amount of money at the back of you which can actually sustain you. And this led to a huge amount of sales. They went from, in 1 year, from about 9 million in sales to 40 million.
Wow.
In about a year.
And you gave them the bits and bytes and how to achieve that.
Yeah, we worked. I mean, these guys, they were playing hard. I mean, they were beautiful in the sense that a lot of it was them. I was just the coach that coached them in applying it correctly and applying it well, but they were playing full out. And they went out there, their team size more than tripled, and more people were attracted, not just to Public Mutual, but to them, the LVG consultants. And today, they're a force in the market, and they're going around building financial fortresses with every individual that they meet. That's their goal. That's their vision, to build a financial fortress in every home in Malaysia. And that is attracting so much more business to them because of that vision.
And before we get down to your part of the book, tell us a little bit about the book, Jeevan.
Okay, the book is by a company called Mentors Magazine, and they produce this book. It's printed and published in the US, and they've got 70 people to participate in this project. We've got people from like Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Deepak Chopra, even Christopher Reeves is in it. And I was one of the people selected to participate in this project. So what it is each of us has got a 3-to-5-page article on some aspect of business in there. The book's available just about everywhere, including Amazon.
And tell us about your little segment where you talk about other focus goals, you know, achieving your business goals faster than you ever thought possible.
Okay. Well, what it is, see, as I started coaching clients, I found that with a certain number of clients over the years, I mean, I've been a coach now for 8 years. I've had several thousand people go through my programs. And I found that with certain types of clients, results were even faster than ordinary, faster than normal. And I said, hey, something interesting is going on here. And what I discovered was this. You see, I created a concept called the Other Focus Method. And all that is really is this. Whatever you want, it's a phrase coined by Zig Ziglar. And it says this. Whatever you want to achieve in your life, whatever goals you want to achieve in your life, help enough other people achieve their goals and you'll get yours. So what it is essentially is adding value. See, when a business wants to get customers, the best and fastest way to do that is to communicate to the customers how you can actually add value to them to help them do something they're already doing better, faster, more effectively, or some way, shape, or form. And the whole other focus method is basically based on that. You first decide what is it that you want, assuming, say, you want 2 million in revenues.
Right.
Then the next thing you need to decide is how many customers out there do I need to impact in order for me to make this 2 million revenues.
So you look at the cost value of your product, how many you need to sell to achieve that 2 million target.
And you've got to know what is the value you're actually giving a customer. For example, if you're a beauty salon and you're not really selling facials, what you're really selling is a beautiful face. You see, that's actually what you're selling. So when you realize that that is the value you ultimately give a person is a beautiful face, now suddenly a whole wide spectrum of products are going to open up. From multivitamins to facial creams to facials to all sorts of things. Now, if you're a business that say you're selling, you're a car mechanic, for example. Now you need to know what business are you really in. You're not a car mechanic, someone who's just repairing cars for a living. What you're doing is giving people peace of mind. So when you're giving them peace of mind, you want them to bring in their cars at regular intervals where you can truly look after them, give them the best parts, deal with them honestly, and in fact, when you start doing it that way, you can even charge more.
And from what you're saying, from all these points, you're looking at outside the box. So how much is that in conflict with someone having business acumen and thinking outside the box?
Well, see, it's never really in conflict because when you think outside the box, you can actually borrow ideas and strategies from different industries. To give you a very simple concept, take FedEx. Now, FedEx was up against UPS. When they decided to launch into the business world, they were up against UPS. And how did they beat UPS? It was very simple. It's basically, what did FedEx, the genius strategy they came up with was overnight delivery using a system called the hub-and-spoke system. But where did they get the idea from? You see, banks had a way of cashing checks overnight.
Right.
So FedEx saw that and said, hey, that's a great way for us to also get packages delivered overnight. So that's an example of borrowing from an industry and getting out there and putting it out there. So there are all sorts of industries out there in which you can borrow ideas from, and it doesn't have to be your own. And you could pick these ideas and go, hey, look, how can it work for my industry? How can it work for my business? And that's very much out of the box thinking.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You've helped a lot of companies. Now, is there a common theme in the problems that businesses face, or are they specific to a certain industry?
Yes, there is a common theme. In fact, all businesses need to work on five areas. I'll take you through what each of these five areas are. The first area, in order to increase your profits, you have to work on these five areas. The first area is called lead generation.
Okay.
Now, lead generation simply means what are your strategies to generate prospects or inquiries? What strategies do you have out there that can generate prospects or inquiries? Now, most businesses have only one or two strategies, like they may have only an advertising strategy and a telemarketing strategy, and that's all they have. You should have 10, 5, 6, 7, 10 different strategies out there and bringing in as many prospects as you can. It's like going to a lake with one fishing rod, and you can only catch one fish at a time. But if you've got 10 fishing rods, you can catch 10 at a time. So the first thing is to generate inquiries, lead generation. The second area is called conversion. Conversion, your conversion strategies are basically your sales strategies. You need to know what is your conversion rate. So, for example, if I generate 10 inquiries and I close one sale, my conversion rate is 10%. So business owners, very often, 9 out of 10 people may not know what their conversion rates are or the conversion rates of their salespeople are. They don't have a clue. And when you don't know that, you can't improve it. So one of the things you need to do, look at your business and say, hey, look, what are my conversion strategies? Once I've got an inquiry in, what am I doing to convert them into a customer? And it could be as simple as you could be having some money-back guarantees, your sales script. You could have testimonials. Like a lot of businesses use testimonials to convert. So like that, you start to build conversion strategies. Now you've got a customer. What's next? Next one is called number of transactions. Number of transactions simply means this. How many times in a year can a customer purchase from you? Now, most businesses tend not to do anything about that. Once a customer has bought, did they leave him alone? A good example is, when's the last time your hair salon called you back or your restaurant? You went and ate in a nice restaurant. When's the last time they actually called you back and said, hey, Patrick, you got to try our new steak. Come back and try it. Chances are never.
Yep.
Many businesses I come across have got no strategies in place to get customers to come back again and again and again. So you need to look at your business and say, hey, look, if customers aren't coming back, what can we do? What strategies could we have?
That's a very good point because even though with my receding hairline, I've got a hairstylist that, you know, when I went there the first time, he buzzed me back and said, when you come back for your next visit, valid till this day, you get 50% off. He understood the kind of services that I took from him, and he's like trying to upsell his business as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you've got Starbucks that has this little card. Each time you walk in, they stamp it. So you, after about 10 stamps or so, you get a free coffee, mm-hmm. something like that. But see, what a business is doing, you'd be surprised. So many businesses out there, they don't realize this. They're not doing anything to get customers
that
to come
back.
That
also means retaining the customers that you have.
Correct. Because, and why is that important? Because there is a word called attrition. Attrition is your rate of losing clients. Now, if your business, whether you realize it or not, let's say you've got a 10% attrition rate. That means every year you are losing 10% of your customers. You would have to get a 20% increase in new customers just to get a 10% increase. You see, because you're already losing 10%. So that's an example of something that could do a lot of damage to your business without realizing it if you're not getting customers to come back.
And moving on to point number four.
The fourth area is called average dollar sale, meaning when a business, when you sell a product or service and someone purchases this product or service, what are you doing to increase their average purchase size? A good example is McDonald's. You walk in, you say, I'd like a burger and a Coke. And McDonald's asks you the question to say, would you like fries with that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say yes, that's a huge amount of revenues to McDonald's businesses all
Absolutely.
Around the world. Yeah. There's a couple of $1 billion worth
Just
of revenues.
Just by one single question.
Just that one single question.
And point number five?
The last one is your margins. Now, a lot of businesses don't realize this, but when you look at your margins, you could ask us this one very important question. What am I doing to increase my margin so that I'm making more profit from my revenues? And increasing margins can be anything from cutting costs to selling higher margin items, but it's a consistent strategy that you must run to increase your margins.
And you talk at great lengths about other focus goal setting methods for your business. And you've got a 7-step so-called program in there. And step number one, you talk about clarity. And you say that clarity is one of the greatest challenges that businesses face. Kindly elaborate about that.
Okay, well, what I meant was basically this. Very often when I talk to a business owner and I ask him this question, I say, what do you want from your business? And quite commonly, the answer I get is something very generalized, like, I want more money. I want to become more successful. They actually do not have absolute clarity on what is it that they're after, what is it that they're pursuing, what is it that they're trying to achieve in their markets with their products, with their services. They very often just don't have that. And the first step in doing anything in your business is to just achieve clarity. The first thing you got to figure out is, what exactly am I building this for? What is my exit plan for this business? How do I plan to grow this business? What do I want, essentially?
Is there any shortfall if, you know, I just want to set up a business, make the money and sell it? Is there anything wrong with that? Or should I concentrate on building the brand?
Well, here's the challenge. If someone said, I just want to set it up, make some money and sell it, here's the challenge. Now, you have a part of your brain called your reticular cortex. Mm-hmm. Now, your reticular cortex kicks in a process called your reticular activating system. Now, your reticular activating system is the compass of your brain, and it helps you find whatever it is that you focus on. So when you focus on something, your brain will actually find all kinds of means and ways for you to achieve that. So if your focus is just on making more money, not specifically, you can't achieve it. Your brain doesn't know how to focus on that. If you say, my focus is to achieve 2.5 million revenues by 2010 December, and your brain will start to find ways and means for you to do that. Everywhere you go, you'll talk to a friend, you'll say something, you go, oh, I could actually use that for my business.
What you're trying to say is automatically the brain somewhat has an hourglass where the sand
right.
is just
like
trickling down. Yeah, all right.
That's okay. Right. It'll just catch you. And then all of a sudden, just a good example is when you buy a car, you buy yourself a black Wajah. And all of a sudden, you notice everyone's driving a black Wajah. Now, they're not driving a Wajah because you bought one. They're driving it, and they've been driving it all along. And the only reason you notice is because your RE said, hey, look, black Wajah's important to Patrick, so let's just find them wherever we go. And you start to find. So that's the first step. I mean, it's using your conscious and your subconscious mind to get what you want. So the first step always is clarity. In fact, many years ago when I was working with business owners, I discovered something very interesting. I discovered that there are two qualities that makes a person super rich. Not just rich, but super rich. And all the people who got that way, some of the guys featured in my book as well, from the Bill Gates to the Donald Trumps, they all became super rich because of these two qualities. Take a guess. What do you think the two qualities are?
I don't know. Just go ahead and tell me.
Well, I'll tell you what
Enlighten
it is.
Enlighten me.
The first quality is actually having a definite written goal and a plan to achieve that goal. So it's not just a verbal or a thought-out goal, but it's actually written. So
putting pen to paper and saying, this is what I want.
That's right. You've actually written it down. And it's a definite goal. You're focused on it. You've written it down. And now you're going to pursue that goal. The second quality is a very interesting one, and this is something that people in business need to master, and that is this: your ability to utilize every single asset you have. Now, that's a big one, because if you master this, you become truly successful. What do I mean? Now, in a business, you have so many assets, from your staff to your strategy to your database to your past customers. Utilizing every single asset is to make all that produce profit. For example, I was once talking to a lawyer, and he was in business for over 10 years. And he told me, he said, "Look, Jivan, I'm struggling to grow my business." And I asked him, I said, "How long have you been a lawyer?" He said, "About almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. How many customers have you generated in that time?" He said, "About 4,000 to 5,000 customers. And I said, "How often do you contact your customers and ask them to come back to you one more time?" He said, "Hardly ever, maybe once in 4 years. Now, there, right in front of him, was an asset, 4,000. Now, imagine if this lawyer was to do this. If he was to get every one of his customers, let's say he managed to bring in 15 customers a week. Right. Every week, he brings all his past database, he calls them and says, "Come on in, let me have a chat with you, see what your legal needs are." And he brings in 15 a week from his past that they already know him, they've already built a relationship with him. And he closes 3 sales out of the 15 each week, and each is 5,000 ringgit. That is 15,000 ringgit a week. In 4 weeks, that is 60,000 ringgit. If all 3 partners of the law firm did the same thing, that 60 times 3 is 180,000 a month. And in a year, that's over 2 million. All because of utilizing an asset. And like that, what I tell business owners to do is this: go home, sit down, make a list of every single asset you have in your business. You'll have 2 types of assets: soft assets and hard assets, tangibles and intangibles. Soft assets are things like your leadership skill, your communication ability, your tactics, your strategy. Hard assets are things you can physically touch, like your office premises, your fixed deposits, your past customers, your database, your just about everything else out there. And once you've made this list, then you start to go through it with your team and say, "Look, what are 2 or 3 ways we can utilize each and every single one of these assets?" And you will be completely blown away as to what you can do in your business. Completely blown away.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And talking about utilizing the resources that you have, and also having leadership skills, especially when it comes to being a boss in a company and having staff within the company, how do you translate your objectives for the business with your staff?
Okay, one of the best ways to do that is regular team meetings. One of the best ways to do this is actually frequent team meetings. And this is something many businesses don't do. They'll have one meeting where they tell the entire team, "All right, this is what we want and this is how we're going to get in." And then that's it. They don't communicate with the team anymore, and everyone's left on their own to do it. And what we found, it's a lot like weight loss. You go to the gym, you're all psyched up and really pumped to lose weight. You go to the gym and you're at there on the treadmill, you're at it, but you only do it twice. And that's it. You can't really lose any weight. You've got to consistently push this through. So what business owners need to realize is, when you share goals with your team, you don't share it once. You share it week after week, month after month. And we call these impact point meetings. You identify what are the top 7 to 12 areas that have the largest impact on your profit. And you have meetings around each and every one of those areas. If you've got 7 impact points, you have 7 meetings a week, every single week, with the purpose of moving that impact point forward. You'll be blown away by what happens in just 4 months.
But as a staff, just say in a company, you said, "Oh no, we're going to have another meeting." Or would I be excited about the meeting if whatever that was discussed there had results, positive results?
Again, the reason why they would feel negatively towards meetings is because in their mind, in their subconscious, they'd be thinking, "This is going to drag on for 2-3 hours." So what we tell teams is this, business owners: every meeting that you have with your teams, it shouldn't be more than an hour. In fact, 45 minutes is ideal. And it should always end with one thing: who does what by when?
Deadlines.
That's right.
Everyone
who does what by when. So everyone is clear what the meeting was, what was the result they were after. So in every meeting, you have a specific result you're after. You discuss 1 or 2 main things, a certain result. Then you talk about the purpose, why you're after the result. And you end the meeting by putting together a massive action plan. Not just an action plan, but a massive action plan to go and get that result. And everybody's out there doing it.
All right. That's pretty much just one part of the equation as a business owner. But now, with this big cloud that's looming for the outlook for 2009, doesn't look very positive as well, with news coming out from every corner of the world that's not positive at all. If I'm in business, what do I do? How do I weather the storm? And if I'm a wage earner, is it a good time for me to get into business?
In fact, here's my take on this whole recession or coming recession. It's the best time to be in business. It's an absolutely brilliant time. But here's the thing. Many people sometimes come to my office and say, Jivan, I'm in a panic. And there's all recessions going on in all these different countries. And what am I going to do? How do I go and get business? So it's really simple. Six things you can do to for you to face this coming economic climate and to produce basically huge amounts of profit during this economic climate. The first thing is massively increase your marketing lead generation activities. Whatever's going on in a business right now, double it, triple it. Increase activities. One of the first things business owners tend to do in a recession is they cut down the marketing to save costs. They don't realize it's actually an investment. Marketing is an investment because you're always purchasing customers. So increase your marketing activities and look at them. Analyze your activities. What are we doing? How can we improve on it? Second thing is increase your sales activities. That's basically things such as your salespeople are out there selling. Figure out what are their conversion rates. Bring them back in and say, look, let's take a look at your scripts. What are you saying? Start changing their scripts. Start giving them better scripts. Third thing you can do is basically go after new markets. Start taking a look at markets you never targeted in the past and start to target those markets because you'd be surprised how many such markets are out there. And number four, which is an obvious one, is cut costs. Mm-hmm. Cut costs where you can, but do it strategically, meaning run what I call a 10% project in your business. What is that? A 10% project is where you make a list of every single cost that's taking place in your business and then brainstorm with your team 2 or 3 weeks you can reduce each of these costs by 10%. And overall, your entire margin goes up by 10%.
Which is what I wanted to ask you when you started with point one, two, and three, where you talk about increased marketing, sales, and things like that. But, you know, if you say cutting costs, doing more marketing, putting more people sales out there, reaching more targets, more areas, would mean, you know, spending more.
Yes, and that's how you got to look at it in terms of, see, when you look at your marketing, your accountant will tell you marketing is an expense. Your coach will tell you that marketing is actually an investment. Now, what do we mean? Let me give you an example. Let's say you put a $2,000 ad in the newspapers and you got 10 inquiries. Let's put it that way. 2,000 ringgit ad, you got 10 inquiries and you got one sale. What it actually means is you purchased that one sale for 2,000 ringgit. You've actually spent 2,000 ringgit on a sale and 200 ringgit on an inquiry. So what we're saying is, looking at marketing as an investment, ask yourself this one question, is there a better way to use my money? Now, if I'm paying 2,000 ringgit for one sale, perhaps I could go out there and channel this money towards referrals, get salespeople and say, hey, look, for every sale you bring to me, I'd pay you 1,000 ringgit. And then he gives the same 2,000, you can now get two sales instead of one sale. Mm-hmm. You see, so you got to start looking at marketing as something that you're investing in and monitor that. We call it your acquisition cost, your cost of acquiring clients. So if you're acquiring clients for, say, 2,000 ringgit a client, what can you do to make that 1,000 ringgit a client, 500 ringgit a client, 100 ringgit a client? And that's where you do something what we call testing and measuring. You test multiple strategies, measure the results, throw away those strategies that don't work and keep those that do work.
And moving on to point five and six.
Well, fifth point, I tell people that this is an excellent time to do point number five, and that is buy out your competitors. Mm. Now, this is an interesting strategy. Take a look at your competitors now. Just as how the recession is affecting other businesses out there, as it starts to affect businesses here, take a look at some of your competitors out there. They probably cannot sustain business. They probably can't deal, and they may be having 1,000 or 2,000 clients whom you could service with your products. Go in, sit down with them, and talk to them and negotiate, and perhaps take over. And you imagine if you bought over your competitors, you could be buying hundreds and hundreds of clients and relationship that they've already spent years building. And you now have your entire portfolio of products to go out there and push through all these clients. And that's very, very powerful.
And finally, point number six.
Well, the last point is a concept I teach very often to business owners. And this is a beautiful concept. It's almost doesn't cost you anything. It's called host beneficiaries. The more familiar term to that would be joint ventures. A good example is identify businesses out there that sell to a specific sell to customers who are similar to your customers, meaning they sell to your target market, but they don't compete with you. For example, if you're a beauty salon and your target market is, say, middle-income women, middle-income. Now, another business that could be selling to that same target market that doesn't compete with you would be a hair salon. Now, you would go to such a business and strike a deal. Say, look, you've got about 700 customers, all of whom could also do business with me, and I don't compete with you. I'd like to offer you a deal. Let's jointly market to them, and you get them into my beauty salon for whatever programs I sell, and you also get a referral fee from that, or whatever the deal is, and you'd be blown away by what you can do. I give you an example. If you're a printer, your target market is business owners. Now, who else sells to business owners who does not compete with you? Perhaps one of that could be businesses that rent photocopiers.
Mm.
Photocopier rental companies also sell to business owners and they don't compete with you. Go to a photocopier rental company and strike a deal. Say, look, I'd like to give every single one of your business owners a complimentary box of name cards. That will cost you 5 ringgit. And if he's got 500 business owners, 5 ringgit times 500 is 2,500 ringgit. It's about the price of an ad, but now you've got 500 inquiries to work with. And you can sell all kinds of things to them after that. So we've done a lot of this out there in the market with phenomenal results.
And it's amazing why you are actually Asia's most experienced and highest award-winning business coach. And we would love to go on talking about this because you've got so much solutions for businesses out there, whether it's small or medium scale.
Right.
But we'd like to end our conversation and, you know, you have a catchphrase that says, and I quote, being wealthy is all about how you use your 24 hours in a day and get as much leverage as possible in all areas of your life. Explain about that. What do you believe
very
in
that? Very simple. See, you have only 24 hours. And most people spend the 24 hours thinking as an individual. Today, it's the age of the team. To get more leverage, think of teams. Think how you can have more people involved. If you're a one-man show in your company or you've just got a small team of 4 or 5 people, think how you can make it a team of 20. What kind of systems can you put in place so that 20 people could operate in your business so that while me and you, while we're talking, the business is still out there working, producing profits, producing revenue, and getting all kinds of customers in whilst we have a cup of tea. So get as much leverage going in your life, whether it's financial leverage, whether it's marketing leverage, whether it's systems leverage or team leverage, get as much leverage as you can and use your 24 hours to the max.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.